أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأغليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعنها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: فاطمة أعز الناس إلي. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that Fatima is the most dignified person towards me. That means the person who has the highest level of izzat, honor and dignity in the eyes of Rasulullah is his daughter. And the same Rasulullah who had nothing in his sight, who has throughout his life focusing on nothing but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the same Holy Prophet who had nothing in his sight other than Allah and always used to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the eyes of his iman and faith, of course not with the physical eyes, but because Allah is not a body, but with the eyes of his iman and faith, Prophet always used to see Allah and nothing but Allah in his life. The same Holy Prophet considers the most honorable person in his eyes as his daughter Fatima, which shows that Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam is the mazhar and reflection of Allah. If Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam was not the most perfect and complete and kamil mazhar and reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his sifat, in all the sifat of Allah and all the attributes of Allah, there is no way the Holy Prophet would have been attached this much with his daughter. And then every time we find every time that Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi comes to see her father, he stands up for her and makes her sit on his own place and kisses her hand. And Prophet used to smell the smell of paradise that was coming from Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And we find in the hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam saying that the mulhid people are going to appear in the year 128. That means 128th year of Hijrah. And he says that because it is written in the Mus'haf of Fatima. So because the Mus'haf of Fatima states this fact, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is aware of this future incident which is going to happen. So Imam understood about this future incident 20 years ahead of the time. He started to focus on establishing the first Hawza in the history of Islam, which was established on that scale in the Masjid al-Nabi, where 4,000 students were studying from him at a time, and he spread the knowledge of Islam and the Islamic beliefs and other sciences of Islam from that first Hawza and prepared the Muslim community against the cultural war and cultural, infiltration that was taking place not only from the outside enemies but also from the inside enemies and munafiqeen and hypocrites in those days who were supported by the regimes and the cults of Banu Umayyah and Banu Abbas. So this preparation that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has made and this propagation of the religion and thus becoming the thus becoming the leader of the Ja'fari fiqh and expanding the teachings of the Holy Prophet in such a unique and unprecedented way, this is all because of the result of the efforts that he started. And our scholars say that these efforts were because he understood the incident, he understood the cultural infiltration which is about to happen from the Zindiq and Mulhid people in the year 128 of Hijra. So that's how he prepared the masses for that ahead of time. And so the Mus'haf of Fatima alayhi salam has information about the future events, about the hawadis and incidents that are going to take place. And that information is certainly a unique information which is found in that book, which is of course with the Imam of our time today. It is part of those tabarrukat and those signs of every ma'soom transferred from one Imam to the other, and right now it is in Imam Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam's hands. This is also a lesson for us and for all the brothers and sisters till the Day of Judgment to be focusing on the seeking of knowledge and spreading of knowledge and of course practicing of the knowledge. Because Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam is not only a role model for the women, but she's also a role model for men, because her policies of life and her actions and her taqwa and her wara is when it comes to those things, there is no difference between a man and a woman. All of them have equally obliged to have taqwa and wara and keep away from tajammul, tajammul gara'i and all those adornments and beauties and glamour and glitter of this dunya, which basically traps the humans, keeping them away from the path of isar and sacrifice towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the path of fada'il and superior spiritual attributes, and at the end of the day keeps us away from the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we can only accommodate one love in our qalb, not two at a time. So these fada'il and this ithar and sacrifice that we learn from her character is certainly a role model for all of us. See, everything since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us in the Holy Quran that everything other than Allah is halik, is destroyed. Everything other than Allah is halik. Kullu shay'in halik illa wajhahu. So anything which is not the wajh of Allah is devastated. So all what is a face of Allah can survive. Everything which is the wajhullah will survive, is surviving, and anything else which is not a wajh and face of Allah is devastated and it's subjected to halakat and destruction. So when we learn in the light of Holy Quran that everything is subjected to halakat other than the wajh of Allah, so it requires a person not to get attached to any of the mawjudat which are za'il and temporary. Because attachment to the za'il, mawjudun za'il, any mawjud which is about to disappear and go away, is certainly going to cause huzn and sorrow at the time of death. Because we are going to go away, we are going to be separated anyway, so the way not to be mahzoon and sorrowful at the time of death is simple, and that is not to get attached to any of the mawjudat, which are za'il. And instead we get attached to those of the existence, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those of the things which are related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That way we won't get mahzoon and sorrowful at the time of death. Now let's turn to Nahjul Hayat. I already told you in one of my earlier speeches that there is an alim who compiled all the ahadith of Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam in the alphabetical order. So just like we have Nahjul Balagha for Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam sayings, likewise he has named his book as Nahjul Hayat. In this Nahjul Hayat, he has compiled all the ahadith of Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha in the alphabetical order. So in Nahjul Hayat, we find hadith number 56, where it is narrated that Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha had said, شَغَلَنِي عَنْ مَسْأَلَتِهِ لَزَّةُ خِدْمَتِهِ. That means the pleasure of serving Allah has engaged me away from seeking, from asking Him. See, those of the people who could not ask Allah because they are engaged already in His remembrance and in His service, they don't need to ask, because all their du'as are already taken care of by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the rule of the thumb. And this is what our scholars mention when they talk about the incident of Hazrat Ibrahim ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam, as he was dropped, he was thrown into that huge fire by Namrud, la'natullah alayhi. We find that Jibreel came and presented his help, you know, halaka hajatun, do you have any hajat, any desire, any need? And of course, and he replied, na'am, amma ilayk, fala. That means, yes. That means, in other words, yes, I have a hajat, but as far as the hajat and need towards you, no. So, Hazrat Ibrahim didn't mention, even in his statement, even at the time when he was in the middle of the air, that, I'm seeking hajat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith doesn't mention that sentence, that he's seeking directly from Allah. Of course, he is seeking from Allah. But that's not mentioned in the hadith. So we find our scholars in the tafsir have mentioned that anyone who is engaged in the zikr and remembrance of Allah, and that engagement with the remembrance of Allah keeps him away from seeking from Allah, all of his hajat are already taken care of. You don't have to worry about that. So let's go back to the hadith from Nahjul Hayat. شغلني عن مسألته لذة خدمته. That means the pleasure of serving Allah has engaged me from asking Him. لا حاجة لي غير النظر إلى وجهه الكريم. I have no hajat other than looking at the Kareem face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Kareem face. So this again shows the level of the ma'rifat of hers, which is hard for us to even understand that level of ma'rifat. And she says in her hadith, which is again narrated from another source, Dalailul Imama, where he has said that حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِن دُنْيَاكُمْ ثَلَاثٌ. Three things have been made beloved to me from your dunya. First thing that she mentioned is تِلَاوَةُ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ, reciting the book of Allah. So Hazrat Zahra used to love reading the Quran. Remember Imam Sajjad alayhi salam has said, if all the people on the planet earth die and there is nobody remaining on the face of earth, me alone and the Quran, I will still not be afraid. Because a lot of people are afraid of loneliness, isn't that right? Some people are afraid, one of the phobias are the loneliness phobia. People are afraid when they become alone. But Imam Sajjad alayhi salam has said that if all the people on the face of earth, everybody on the earth dies, and I am the only one who survives, and I have the Quran, I will not be afraid as long as I have Quran with me. So, which is again in sync with the same phenomena that we were talking about, the love of Allah, and people being engaged with the remembrance of Allah, is no different from that, because Quran is also tajalli and reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِن دُنْيَاكُمْ ثَلَاثٌ. Three things have been made beloved to me from your dunya. Recitation of the book of Allah. وَالنَّظَرُ فِي وَجْهِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And looking at the face of Rasulullah, which is one of the biggest ibadah. If somebody just had access and can see the face of Rasulullah or Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam, al-Nazaru ila wajhi Aliyin ibadatun. Looking at the face of Ali is ibadat. Again, because Prophet, maybe one of the reasons why looking at his face is ibadat, because he is the mazhar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He reflects Allah in his fullest. Wal infaqu fi sabirillah. And the third thing which is beloved to Hazrat Zahra is spending money for the sake of Allah. She loves that. Actually, they kept nothing for themselves. إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِيدَ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. So that's for the sake of wajh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bringing other people ahead of our own needs. I mean, Islam gives us the permission to spend money on our needs of life, but a higher level than that is that we give preference to others over our needs. مَنْ كَانَ فِي حَاجَةِ أَخِيهِ كَانَ اللَّهُ فِي حَاجَتِهِ. Whoever is in the hajat of his brother, Allah is in his hajat. That means if you are busy and engaged in taking care of the need of your fellow mu'min brother or sister, then Allah will be taking care of your hajat. So that Islamic law is so simple. Whenever you have a hajat, go and serve some mu'min. If you want Allah to give you more money, more risk, go and spend more money for the sake of Allah. Give more sadaqah for those who need. You have $1 million, you can spend from that. You have $1, you can give a dime. You can give a quarter, whatever you can afford. Quality is not the point. Quantity is not the point. It's about the ikhlas and quality of our amal. So the more we give, the more we get. The more we serve others, the more we are served. The more we have mercy on others, the more we, others will have mercy on us. Allah will have mercy on us. The more we help the hajat and needs of other brothers, the more our own hajat and needs will be fulfilled. So that's the simple principle of Islam. So, and then in, when it comes to the importance of imamat, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ طَاعَتَنَا نِظَامًا لِلْمِلَّةِ Allah has made our obedience نِظَامًا لِلْمِلَّةِ The whole millat of Islam will be disciplined, organized, and in a system and in place as long as the obedience of the imamat and walayat of Ahlul Bayt is there. As long as the community keeps on obeying the imamat and walayat concept of Ahlul Bayt, the whole millat of Islam will be disciplined, organized, stable, systematic. جَعَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَتَنَا نِظَامًا لِلْمِلَّةِ That's exactly what happened. You find the Muslims got insulted day in and day out, got divided into 73. The whatever happened to us, all those, how we have been let down by the enemies and how all those disputes and conflicts have basically affected the advancement of the Islamic Ummah is nothing but because of the fact that the behavior towards the imamat and walayat was pathetic. Wa imamatana amanam min al furqa, and our imamat was made, Allah has made our imamat a security from division. So why the ummah is divided? Because the imamat was not obeyed. And if we want to undo the divisions among the community, there is a single point agenda in Islam. Whoever wants to talk about unity, he must remember this hadith. In for the sake of unity, Islam proclaims a single point agenda, and that is the walayat. You come under the banner of leadership, every division will be gone. As long as you don't accept the walayat, and then you keep on talking about unity, you are wasting your time, your life, your energy, and you name it. Then you are not serious about that. Then you didn't learn from Ahlul Bayt. You have yet to learn the basic concept, the ABC of the imamat concept of Ahlul Bayt, who have already told us that the guarantee from division is imamat. So if unless and until we realize that our behavior towards walayat and imamat, and then we talk about unity, you find everybody talks about unity. You know, we need to have unity. Well, unity is under the leadership. When you don't want to follow the leadership, what are you talking about? You are mocking, you are deceiving your own self. جَعَلَ اللَّهُ تَعَاتَنَا نِظَامًا لِلْمِلَّةِ وَأَمَا إِمَامَتَنَا أَمَانًا مِنَ الْفُرْقَةِ Hazrat Zahra, when she addresses her own husband, what does she say? Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. Isn't that a lesson for us, for all of us? Hazrat Zahra can say something else as well. Isn't that right? Sometimes she also used to say Abul Hasan. But in some other times we find she says, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. So, when somebody says to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam that you are the son of Rasulullah, that means he was trying to say where he was coming from is that you guys already have so and so, such and such respect already because you are the son of Rasulullah, you are the Imam, and so forth. And look at what Imam Sadiq replies back to that guy, to the person. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, وَلَادَتِ مِنْ وَلَايَتِ لَهُ أَفْضَلْ مِنْ وِلَادَتِ مِنْهُ Me believing in the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen is superior than me being born in the lineage of him. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is making clear the point. Me believing in the walayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is superior as compared to me being born in his lineage. So what is more important, just being born in a lineage? So basically, Again, in another hadith we find from Hazrat Fatima, salamullah alayha, this is another hadith of hers, where she says that Masalul Imam, Masalul Ka'ba. The parable of an imam, the example of an imam, is that of Ka'ba. Masalul Imam, Masalul Ka'ba. Tu'ta wa la ta'ti. That means it's the responsibility of the people to come to Ka'ba. And it's not the responsibility of the Kaaba to go to the people. Which is one of the very clear worded lessons for the community. And that's similar to what the Prophet had said to Imam Ali alayhi salam earlier. That Prophet had said to Imam Ali alayhi salam in one of his statements that Ya Ali Masaluka, Masalul Kaaba, Tu'ta wala ta'ti tuhajji wala tahij. So this is about the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, the same Ahlul Bayt for whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the ayat al-tatshir, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ وَلَيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَحِّرَكُمْ تَطْحِيرًا.
اللَّهُمَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدٍ.
And this ayat al-tatshir, when it was revealed on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he used to come on the house of Hazrat Fatima in some of the narrations for 6 months, in some other narrations for 9 months, in some other narrations for 12 months. So, till almost the end of his life, almost close to the end of his life, he used to come, let's take the minimum, okay, for 6 months. Let's take that narration. For the 6 months after revelation, every single day, Prophet used to come on the house, on the close to the door, on the house of Hazrat Zahra, salamullah alayha, and say, As-salamu alaykum ya ahl al-bayt. Salam and peace of Allah be on you, ahl al-bayt. And then he used to recite the same ayat, Innama yuridu Allahu liyuzhiba ankum ar-rijsa ahl al-bayt wa yutahhirakum tathira. So this is called Nabinai Qalb. A'mal Qalb, what we say in Arabic. Aql ke andhe. This is called Amal Qalb. Some people are blind at heart. They may have very 20-20 vision in their physical eyesight, but when it comes to their soul, they are blind at heart. So if they can't see the Holy Prophet coming, with all the knowledges and narrations available today, narrated in different texts, books, if they can't see all that, if they can't visualize the Holy Prophet coming for 6 months at the door of Hazrat Zahra and addressing them, As-salamu alaykum ahlal bayt, then they are called blind at heart. What else do you call blind at heart? And this hadith is narrated by some of the very famous ashab of Rasulullah, let me name them. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas, Aisha, Anas bin Malik, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Umar ibn Abi Salma, Wasila ibn Asqa', Abdullah ibn Ja'far, and Abu Hamra, and Salima, and Abu Huraira, and Ma'qil ibn Yasar, and Ja'far ibn Hayyan, and Khubayra, and Abu Barza al-Aslami, and Miqdad ibn al-Aswad al-Kindi. So these are the 11, are the 16 of the famous Ashab who have narrated this hadith about the fact that this ayat al-Tafir is narrated for the sake of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. In addition, we find 300 other sources which are mentioned in Kitab al-Ghadir. Of Allama Amini, he has mentioned 300 other sources of the same hadith, where those narrators, other than these ashab, have mentioned that this ayat al-tafsir belongs to Ahlul Bayt, alayhimu salatu wassalam. And when the story belongs to the house of Hazrat Salima, when their Prophet came there and, and gathered all these Khamsa, Panstanipak in that Kisa al-Yamani, the Yemenite cloak, and we find then all these five great personalities have gathered under the cloak, that's where Allah sent Jibreel with the ayat. And Umm Salama wanted to come. She came forward actually, and she was asking from Rasulullah that, shall I also enter into the cloak? And Prophet said that, Anti ila khair. In some of the narrations, it says, Anti fi khair. Some say, Anti ila khair. Or Anti ala khair, whatever. The theme is the same. I mean, you are on righteousness, you are on goodness. Which means that when you are on goodness, that you are not on batil or something, you are on khair, but you don't belong to this group. So Prophet didn't allow her to come inside, and she stayed outside. And when also in the narration it says, then when Hazrat Umm Salama herself asked Rasulullah about the ayat al-Tathir, and Prophet started to name these personalities one by one in front of her. So this has been extremely emphasized, extremely and clearly and explicitly mentioned and emphasized by Rasulullah, the description of who are Ahlul Bayt. Like I said, you can find 300 plus narrations, sources in Kitab al-Hadith for just that, if somebody wants to find out. And besides, when Imam Ali alayhi salam made a claim, there was none of the Ashab whoever conflicted or challenged his claim. You can never find in any history that some of the Ashab came forward and challenged the claim of Imam Ali alayhi salam. That, well, you are not right. We are also part of the Ahlul Bayt, because there are some who say it's not just the Azwaj who are part of Ahlul Bayt. Some say even the Ashab are part of Ahlul Bayt. So if that was the case, then Ashab would have claimed. This is what is claimed by the Mullahs later on. The Mullahs started to add Azwaj and Ashab later on. It was not an issue in the time of Rasulullah. Just like the Mullahs in the time of Yahud and Nasara did what they did towards the Injil and the Torah, and misinterpreted, and the Talmud was written, which has nothing to do with the teachings of the Torah. Similarly, there were mullahs in Islam who twisted and spun the teachings later on, not in the time of the Ashab. You don't find nothing in the time of Ashab, anybody disputing the claim of Imam Ali Rasam, that, hey, you don't belong to Ahlul Bayt, this ayat doesn't belong to you. Not even a single narration is available in the time of Rasulullah or in the time of the Ashab, disputing the claim of Imam Ali alayhi salam. This is later on by the mullahs, later on manipulated by them. Also, if that was the case, that the Azwaj were considered to be part of the Ahlul Bayt phenomena, then Ummul Mumin Aisha would have written that on some type of a piece of writing at the forehead, at the peshani of the jamal, the camel, camel that she was riding at the incident of the Battle of Jamal. She must have written that I belong to those for whom Ayatul Tathir has been revealed, and she would have exploited that thing loud and clear. The way she has manipulated all those people to come and surround her and support her just because she is the wife of Rasulullah, it was the golden opportunity for her to bring Ayatul Tathir as well and write it down in some big words to rally support for herself. Isn't that right? You don't leave any stone unturned when you are at, every interest of yours is at stake. Because she had, of course, hatred towards Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and hatred towards Imam Ali alayhi salam. So when, Hazrat Uthman who was killed by the mob. Who knows who killed him? So Imam Ali alayhi salam, and then later on people founded the house of Imam Ali alayhi salam and asked him that we are ready to for the bay'at and the oath of allegiance. And of course Imam Ali alayhi salam accepted that, which is there, which we learn in the light of the third sermon of Nahj al-Balagha at Khutbah al-Shiqshiqiyya. We find when Imam Ali's Imamat al-Khilafat was made open, and Aisha was about to enter into the city of Medina, and she heard the news of the Imamat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, she turned away and went back to towards Makkah. So she used to do hijab in front of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein because of the hatred she had towards Imam Hassan. Because she used to show by her behavior that you are non-mahram to me. Although they are mahram, they are just like children. Isn't that right? She's the wife of Rasulullah, they are like children. And they are mahram, but still she used to do hijab in front of them. This is a way of insulting Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. So she would have certainly written down the ayat of Tathir on that camel, rallying the people in her support if there was a slightest chance of spinning and twisting ayat of Tathir in her favor. This was a non-issue in the time of Ashab and in time of Rasulullah. Azwaj or Ashab are part of the concept of Ahlul Bayt. This was a non-issue. This was an issue made up later on by the mullahs. So we find that Allama Amini rahmatullah alayhi had said that ismat az shu'un manasib walayat ma ghayr wali ke masum bashat suraq na dare. So Allama Amini, who is the author of Kitab al-Ghadir, the biggest book on the subject of Ghadir in 11 volumes, rahmatullahi alayh, such a great scholar with such a great service towards the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. So he says that ismat is one of the positions of walayat. So no one other than the wali, we don't find nobody other than the wali to be masoom. That means a ma'soom is the one who has the walayat. So what he's trying to say is that the walayat al-takwiniyya, what we learn in the light of his statement is that the walayat al-takwiniyya of a ma'soom depends on the ismat and taharat of the qalb. Unless and until a person has ismat and infallibility and taharat and cleanliness of the soul of that level, he will or she will never be able to enjoy the position of al-walayat al-takwiniyya. And if a person doesn't enjoy the mansab and position of al-walayat al-takwiniyya, then the person certainly doesn't have al-walayat al-tashri'iyya either. Because the tashri'i walayat, which is the right of rule, depends entirely on the takwini form of walayat, which is the right of rule over the existences around us and the power to show the miracles. So, but this doesn't come free of cost. It has a, when we find that this is narrated from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, from the sources of the Sunni brothers, that Jibreel asked the Holy Prophet, Ya Muhammad, was'al man arsalna qablaka min rusulina ala ma bu'itu. That means, you know, he's trying to ask from the Holy Prophet that the previous messengers were sent down by Allah on what? What was the, basically, the point? And the Holy Prophet replied, قُلْتُ عَلَى مَا بُعِثُ. They were sent on what mission? So Jibreel responded back, عَلَى وَلَايَتِكَ وَوَلَايَتِ عَلِي ibn Abi Talib. That means that all the previous messengers of Allah were sent down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on your walayat and on the walayat of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. So when, and also in another hadith from Kitabul Awalim, we learn from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam saying about Hazrat Zahra sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَقَدْ كَانَتْ مَفْرُوضَةَ الطَّاعَةَ عَلَى جَمِيعِ مَنْ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ وَالطَّيْرِ. And Hazrat Fatima, it was a fariza in duty to obey her. Is a fariza in duty. Her obedience was a fariza in duty on all that Allah created. I mean, every creature of God, it was obedient towards her, from the jinns and the humans and the birds and the animals and the prophets and the angels. So all the creatures of God were under the command and under the obedience of Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam. So this kind of status doesn't come free of cost, brothers and sisters. It requires a lot of sacrifice and ithar. The ithar of Hazrat Zahra is basically that high level of ithar is the biggest example that she has set for all of us. The lady who is ready to give away her wedding dress to the faqir. So you can understand how much a person has an emotional attachment to certain things. But someone who is ready to give away the wedding dress to the faqir. So this shows about her ithar, and when we find that Hazrat Zahra salamu alayhi wa sallam, as the Holy Prophet came on the next day of her marriage and said, "Ala Fatimata khidmatu dun ma dun al bab, wa ala Aliyin khidmatu ma khalfahu." That means it's the job of Fatima to do the job inside the door, and it's the job of Ali to do the job outside the door. So when Hazrat Zahra heard that statement of Rasulullah, she said, "Ma ya'lamu illallah ma dakhalani min as-surur." No one knows other than Allah how much Prophet made me happy. That means with that statement of Rasulullah, how much he became happy. So it's her job to do the take care of the affairs inside the door, and it's the job of Imam Ali to take care of the things outside the door. So when there is a lady of that caliber, so then she deserves to get that special status which Allah has provided us. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari says that قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم Prophet has said إذا كان يوم القيامة, when the day of judgment will happen, Nada munadin min butnan al-arsh, an announcer will announce from the middle of the throne in arsh, Ya ahl al-jam'a, O you the gathering, O you the people who have gathered, nakisu ru'usakum wa ghaddu absarakum. That means bring your heads down and lower your gaze. Hatta tamurra Fatima bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can pass by. That's on the Day of Judgment, where billions and billions of people are gathered. But as soon as the command will come, everybody will bring the heads down and lower their gazes, and no one can dare look up. And so she can cross over the bridge. وَمَعَهَا سَبْعُونَ أَلْفْ جَارِيَ مِنَ الْحُورِ الْعِينِ. Then she will cross, and along with her it will be 70,000 حور. And كَالْبَرْقِ اللَّامِعِ, like a flash of lightning, just like a lightning flash, she will cross. And this is about the speed. This is about the speed of some people are such who will be crossing over the bridge of Sirat, which is either through the hellfire, according to some tafsir, or over the hell, crossing over the hell, whatever. But the speeds will be different depending on the ma'rifat of the people. So her speed is what we learn here, kalbarqil lami'. So she will be crossing over the bridge of Sirat like a flash of lightning. And when the final moments of her life arrived, we find that she had said to Asma bint Umais, salamullahi alayha, that she did her ghusl herself. She did the ghusl, and she said to her, which I'm paraphrasing these narrations in my own words, she said to her that, call me after a while. She went to lie down in the room, and she said to Asma bint Umais that, call me after a while. And if I don't respond, then understand that my soul has departed. I've already died. So Asma bint Umais did the same. She says, I waited for a while, and then I called her, and there was no response. And that's where, in those times, we find that Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain alayhi wasalam entered into the house, and they discovered their mother is lying there, but she's not speaking to her. She's not talking to Hassan and Hussain the way she used to talk earlier. And Imam Hassan dropped himself on the face of his mother. And Imam Hussain dropped himself on the feet of his mother. And of course, when the news had arrived, Imam Ali alayhi salam came there. So when this is the one of the most saddening events for Imam Ali's life, the departure of his beloved wife, Fatimatul Zahra salamullahi alayha. And also, it is not a simple departure. This is a shahadat. And this is not a simple shahadat. This is a shahadat that took place because there is the guy coming and burning the door of Hazrat Fatima's house. And then when somebody informs him that there are Hassan and Hussein inside the house, and he says, "Wa'in, let them be. Let me, who cares?" And he burns the door of Hazrat Fatima's house, and he drops the door over her. And according to some narrations, Hazrat Fatima got crushed between the door and the wall. And that's where she had the miscarriage for Hazrat Muhsin. And so it's not a simple shahadat. This is an extremely high level of shahadat for Hazrat Fatima. And now we find that when she was doing her wasiyah to Imam Ali, she said that you marry Imam Amama because she loves my children like me. And don't allow any of those people who did zulm towards me to participate in my janaza or to pray over my janaza. And we find Imam Ali did the same. And she said that take my janaza out in the time when the eyes have gone to sleep. That means in the night. And that the same thing happened when the people of Medina gathered around the house of Hazrat Zahra after Hazrat Abu Zar came out, and he announced in front of the people that the janaza has been delayed and people got dispersed. So nobody remained there till in the middle of the night we find that the janaza was taken out, and there were 7 people participating in the Salatul Janaza of Hazrat Zahra in addition to the Bani Hashim. And this janaza was taken out, and we find Imam Ali alayhi salam dig up several graves, The grave of Hazrat Zahra was hidden, and it is still hidden. She is still mazloom. She is still under the zulm of those tawaghit. We find in the ziyarat we read, Al-mazloomate, al-majhoolate qabruha, the person whose qabr is still majhool. So we still don't know the qabr of Hazrat Zahra. This is one of the things that we will learn when Imam Mahdi al-Islam will appear. And al-mazloome ba'nuha, we address Hazrat Zahra, the person whose husband is mazloom. Al-maktoole waladuha, we say salam to that Hazrat Fatima, whose child has been slaughtered. So we find that in the time of janaza of Hazrat Zahra, at least there were 7 people present. At least there were some of the Banu Hashim who were present praying over her. But when we come to Karbala, we find that there is another janaza in Karbala, which is lying there in the Maidan of Karbala for 3 days. And there is no one to provide the kafan and ghusl. Instead, they are preparing the horses. They are preparing the horses to crush the janaza of Hussein ibn Ali under the hooves of the horses.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أجمع القلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعدها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن العثراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين